好的，现在差不多可以开始了。首先呢，非常感谢。
Let's start this part. I would like to first of all thank Microsoft for giving us this opportunity to have a communication with the hardware vendors here. My name is Lin Nan. I am the manager or director of Nvidia China, responsible for technology development. If you have any questions about the development from Nvidia, please contact me. Today, I will talk about Maxwell. Maxwell is a new generation which supports Windows 10 and VX 12, DirectX 12. At present, in today's market, it is the most advanced chips to support the display of DirectX and Windows 10. If you develop the apps like DirectX 12, it is the best choice for you. Maxwell is the best choice. Now, the outline of this presentation. First, a brief introduction about Maxwell GPU. Second, in DirectX 12, there are some new hardware features provided by Microsoft, which could be used on the DirectX 12 series. And I will talk about some mapping technologies which will be popular in the future. First, Maxwell framework or architecture. First of all, it is based on the established 20 nanometer nodes. We know that 28 nanometer nodes has been established for 3 to 4 years. It is a very mature technology. The next step is about 20 or 16 nanometer. So based on this very mature technology, we made some improvement and design to make sure Maxwell GPU we have a better performance and a lower power consumption. If you look at this table, 980 is the most widely used high-end GPU. It is based on Maxwell framework. Compared to the prior GPU, 980 has a very much improved performances. It is particularly true for the power consumption. So important design for the Maxwell architecture is its low energy consumption. Compared to the previous generation, the power consumption is half of that. To improve performance and to enhance the energy efficiency, it also has some other features. It has some special effect. For example, the global illumination, or GI in short, is added. This is one of the new features. It also has some other features like AA function. A programmable AA function is ensured. A more complexible AA methodology could be used. It also has a working set enhancement could ensure the effective management, the virtual management of the memory. It is not only providing the best hardware platform for DirectX 12, it can provide a platform for other APIs. For example, Adobe Flash. It can accelerate by 2 times. If you want to take pictures of the slides, would you please move to the front row? Then you could get a clearer picture. Second, DirectX 12 new features. DirectX 12 have the following targets. One is to increase API performance. Second, to be closer to the bottom hardware. So you could have a more direct hardware access. So allow you to have a more flexible design of the hardware. Number three, Microsoft may have talked about it in other sessions through some through keynotes or demos. It has some universal design. For the same set of applications, it could be applied to different platforms. It is applicable to PC and tablet. It is a two-in-one design. Last but not the least, a set of provide support for the hardware vendors and app vendors. So DirectX 12, it is a high-performing, mainstream gaming development. The newly added features, two categories. Number one is these features of software. The software features, for example, to increase the utilization of CPU, DX10, starting from DirectX 10 to 11, various efforts has been made to enhance the efficiency of CPU, the utilization of CPU. For DirectX 10 and 11, in doing the image rendering, the rendering is about 30 to 60% at most. CPU resources, 30 to 60% are spent on the verification of the resources and creation of the buffer. But for DirectX 12, a different strategy is used. The verification and the resource management are not a separate work. It has been delivered to developer. So it guarantees the flexibility. It reduces the occupation of CPU resources. For GPU, there are some new features to optimize the utilization of a GPU. First, the searching is used to increase the flexibility of the bound resources. Boundless texture are realized already. For DirectX 12, this flexibility is also introduced. With that, when you set up, deploy, or use some resources, you could reuse them very fast and efficiently. Data management and transmission efficiency are more higher. DirectX 10 or 11 has a command buffer for data transmission and communicate with CPU. But Windows 10 drivers been introduced. there's some parallel execution. More direct working deployment module. GPU working deployment requires OS to deploy in a uniform way, to deploy multiple applications. For Director 12, a new driver is used for more direct deployment, and there are some hardware features also added. We will talk about these new features. There is one feature, hardware feature, which is very highlighted. This is very much needed. That is a conservative rasterization. The terminology aims to transform the transaction to geometry information into frame information. That is to say, when a triangle covers the center of a frame, a pixel, it is believed that the pixel belongs to this triangle. The pixel will be transferred or transmitted. But actually, the center of this pixel is not covered by the triangle. So this part is not transmitted. But with conservative rasterization, for any pixel covered by this triangle will be transmitted as part of the triangle. What kind of advantages of doing this? It can satisfy the new algorithm of pictures or pixels, I mean.
The ray tracing and for the algorithm of ray tracing, an important point is that it needs a kind of acceleration structure, and so as to produce accelerated data. So when this data is generated, it is actually, it usually has a form of a raster, and whether a triangle has a kind of overlapping area with this raster, and then this triangle needs to be noted down. So with this type of feature, and it is very easy to perform this function. So then, if without this feature, it will be very difficult to note down or to take the data of all these type of transactions, this type of triangles. And another feature is about of voxelization. For example, if a triangle is very small, it is less than a pixel even, and then it may be just discarded directly if it does not have an overlapping part with a pixel. But with this conservative rasterization, this performance becomes very easy to do. And besides, our Maxwell GPU supports this type of feature, including 960, 970, 980 to Titan X. Now let's take a look at the second feature, which is ROV, raster ordered views. And it actually means a kind of a Microsoft concept, and it's a kind of output buffer for the view. For the output buffer, we know that pixel shader was not in order, which means that we are not able to guarantee that when there are two angles, it is not, and they are not able, that the two triangles should be written to the one same pixel. It is we cannot guarantee which triangle's pixel should be transmitted first, which second. And but with ROV and in our program, we are able to actually set which angle, which triangle should be transmitted first, which second. And with that, we can actually do a lot of algorithms. For example, OIT, this kind of OIT transparent algorithm can be achieved by this method, ROV. At the same time, we have to note that ROV may also bring about some feature compromises or feature loss. For example, if one pixel and has many different layers of transparency, it may cause some feature loss or performance loss. The third important feature is tiled resources. So the tiled resources, the concept is that in the past, for the DX in the past, either for the data or for the pictures, and if we want to just, we usually just put it in the storage. And but with these tiled resources, and we can actually manage it with like a kind of virtual resource. For example, here there's a data. The bright points are the points, are the data already in storage. The dark points are not in storage or are not in inner memory. Probably they are stored in the disks or other areas. So when we use it, like the virtual storage, and if you read something, read the data which is not in the memory, and then there will be an option for you to choose, and you can just you can give up this data, or you can actually transmit it into the memory, and it can bring about many advantages. The first is that it can actually help achieve very big data. For example, the pictures which is like 40,000 times 40,000. This is a very big picture, and every time we may only use part of it, and the rest of this picture will just be stored in somewhere as a kind of virtual data in a virtual storage. And besides, shadow map does not have a very clear clarity, and but with tiled resources, we can actually have a very big shadow map, such as like a shadow map with a resolution of 20,000 times 20,000. Besides, it can also achieve a sparse multiple resolution rendering. For example, a big rendering like it's a 4K rendering, and you don't need to render the whole thing. And for the output part, then you can just design it as a tiled resource, and then you can just run, you can just put the part that you need to make further corrections or additions in the inner memory. Our Maxmel, second generation Maxmel GPU, as I mentioned, the 97880 Titan X also support this feature. Then let's take a look at the other features Maxwell supports for DX12. We haven't finally decided whether these new features will be adopted, but these new features are basically supported by this device. And if the for the DX12 does if the, it does not adopt these new features, and we can still use a special API to have access to these new features. One of the important features is multi projection acceleration. And so it means that if we want to draw something on the different portals or different screens, then we can just draw it once, and it will be okay. The one thing, one problem is that how can we, because when we draw one thing on the different surfaces, and we may need a different projection angles and solve many other issues. In the past, we will need to have a geometry shader to do this to achieve this function. But for Maxwell, it has the acceleration for the geometry shader. If this means that it can achieve a geometry shader very quickly. Secondly, it can also have the viewport multicasting. So here we can see there is a triangle, and there are three triangles. These two purple ones and one orange one can be projected on different surfaces, and the important function of that is that it can help achieve VR virtual reality, such as virtual reality glasses, because and also a helmet, and because it needs two eyes, left and right. And but in the past, we may have to draw it for the left eye once, and then draw it for the right eye another time. And then, but with this multi-projection acceleration, and we can just draw one eye together for both the left eye and the right eye. And it also has other functions. One is to have the cube map rendering, and in the past we need to draw like six times on the different surfaces of the cube map, but now we can only do it once with a cube map rendering. And besides, it also the second generation Maxwell GPU all support this function. And let's look at another is Maxwell programmable AA, and there are different algorithms for the AA in the past and now, and so the different algorithms are aimed at dividing one pixel into different subpixels, and then do the operations on the different pixels, and in order to achieve the AA. And Maxwell also has two programmable functions. One is on pixel shader. It can actually define all the positions of all the subpixels, and now we can see there are four pixels. And one pixel can be divided into four subpixels, but these four subpixels may overlap, may not have very regular positions to each other, and so in the past these four subpixels were fixed and could not be adjusted by the program. But for Maxwell, we can actually use a pixel shader to define or to set the positions of the subpixels. So now then we can compare. If we can see here the upper part, the upper picture, all the subpixels have some, the order has some regularity. And but for the lower part, you can see this is a kind of a self-defined or self-set position of the subpixels. And so the position is more balanced and better looking and more rationalized. So then I would like to talk about what kind of special effects can be achieved by means of NVIDIA Maxwell. The first is called retraced shadow maps. So this picture here shows a kind of regular shadow algorithm, and it's very difficult. It's very difficult to solve. So this is a kind of a fur ball. This fur ball has a shadow on its surface. The biggest problem with this example is that it has a lot of triangles smaller than 1 pixel. So for the shadow map traditional algorithm, it produced a lot of problems. Many small triangles were just lost. If these triangles are projected on one shadow, and they may be enlarged. But the traditional algorithm can easily lose the small triangles. So you can see that the traditional shadow map, you can hear, it's not easy for you to see a very clear shadow. But if we use this ray tracing methodology technology, and it won't be able to lose the less than 1 pixel triangles, especially with a conservative rasterization, and it's not easy to lose the small triangles. So the good shadow shape is produced. Let's look at the traditional shadow projection, and we can take a look at the borders. We can see some of the effects which are not very good, not very like ragged, not very optimized. And if we take a look at here, and when it's enlarged, it's like this. This is a traditional shadow map effect. And this is a ray tracing. So we can see all these different lines, and the borders are very clear. And if we enlarge it, still the same part. You can see this border part compared with the previous picture has a better quality. So for this special feature, and what's its requirement for the hardware, and for this 3D feature level 11, and it can also use it, but it doesn't have conservative rasterization, so the effectiveness and the quality may not be as good. But because with the conservative rasterization, the efficiency has been greatly increased. And what games may use the ray tracing shadows? And now we can see that it has this feature has already been used in the Unreal 4 engines. And in the future, we think that many games will use this special effect. To a large extent, this special effect is actually put in a very high-end or high-level device. And if you want to do the game platforms or devices, you may need to use some like especially high-end GPUs, especially like the NVIDIA's Maxwell GPU. And so another feature is related to tiled resources. We know Fluid. When we did the Fluid simulation, one major method was to use it to do the simulation in the three-dimensional data, and but it uses a lot of inner memory. For example, for 256 data may take over 10 M or even 100 M inner storage, but this is not good for the development of the games. But with the tiled resources, and you can use the virtual reality to apply for a very large inner memory or storage, but it only put what it needs to use in this memory. And then for the rest of it, and you can just put it in the storage or in the memory when it needs to use the additional data. So, and also there are also some data which we do not need to put it in the memory. Then we just don't need to do it. So here is a demo. So this is NVIDIA Flameworks. This is actually to here is a kind of simulation for the flames and of smoke. And you can see that some the details are very vivid. You can see this is just a completely three-dimensional simulation, especially the effect is very good for the details. The simulation is very good. And NVIDIA for this special effect has the frameworks and to provide it to the software vendors. So this is a fluid simulation. Sparse fluid simulation needs the hardwares which should support the D3D feature level 12. For NVIDIA, it's a Maxwell 900 series. 960, 970, 980, and etc. Secondly, DX12 and can also support sparse fluid simulation. But since this 11 does not have the support for the 3D dimension, 3D data, so you can only do the small scale simulation. You cannot simulate a lot of details. So what games can use the sparse fluid simulation? I think especially for the games with the special effects may use it. And for the high end picture designing, and you may use some, the games may use some fluid interaction, and actually so the DX12 and can certainly help achieve this kind of special effect requirement. The third part is the GI global illumination.
There is a new algorithm. It is called VX minus GI-based algorithm. It is the highest level physical-based illumination. It is mainly used for the indoor decoration drawing. It takes minutes to hours for the indoor decoration mapping. But if you have the NVDM, it could realize the real-time application, particularly true for high-end GPU like 1010X and 980, which can realize the real-time class. VXGI is used for DX12 and Maxwell. It has the following features. One is conservative rasterization. Second is tiled resources. Apart from the two, it has a new one that is the multi-projection acceleration. This is the effect without GI. The best effect that is produced by GI is direct illumination. So the effect could be produced like this one. The process is very complicated because there are a lot of variations in terms of the light, and it needs different types of algorithm. This picture is through a kind of offline rendering. It takes about hours of rendering average is used. Next picture. It is a real-time produced picture or effect. It could be used for real-time effect for indoor photographing or indoor decoration. The best advantage of it, although I cannot realize, a complete offline rendering effect, but it could realize a real-time design or gaming of high-quality pictures. Its hardware requirement, D3D feature level 11, but high-end DX12 feature level hardware is recommended. The fourth one, I want to introduce to you a new AGAA. It is a new type of algorithm. It is a kind of a programmable AA. AA is designed for the latency rendering engine. Latency rendering has a defect. I don't know whether you're familiar with the latency rendering. The traditional rendering is that we draw a triangle and we transmit it. We do the illumination calculation and then we transmit it. But the mainstream engines and real-time applications prefer another one, that is a latency rendering or a deferred rendering. After the triangle information is transferred, there's no illumination. All the triangles are outputted. Illumination and pictures will be made in the end. The purpose of it is to provide a better illumination effect. Second, to reduce unnecessary picture postering and relevant calculation. But it has a serious problem that is difficult of the difficulty in AA. If you look at this picture, it is a traditional AA. It's very difficult to do because look at this ball. Because a lot of triangles inside is less than 1 pixel. Given a small size, it has been, casted. It has been got rid of before rasterization. Here we have 32 triangles here. So many triangles under the condition of deferred rendering. 1 pixel could record information of one triangle. So the final effect is like this. Traditional, the AA algorithm, to avoid this problem, we have to have a 32 times AA. So each pixel will have the 32 subpixels. One subpixel will record one triangle, but it takes time and is very costly. AGAA designs an algorithm, programmable AA, uses fewer methodology to record the triangle information. In this way, the AA effect, the better AA effect will be realized, which is not that costly. an effect could be guaranteed in the end. Look at this picture. This is a scenario in which there are a lot of edges of the objects and some transparent parts. But if you use AGAA, it could better, without any expenditure, realize the AGAA effect. Let's look at the demo. So this is the vector without AA. Look at the tree. The sparkling problem, a shining problem, because of this is AGAA. Look at the tree. The AA effect is much better. Without more input, it could realize the better AA effect. Let's go back to this picture, AGAA. With two times double A level, it could reach the effect similar to 32 times MSAA effect. For the mainstream latent deferred rendering hardware, we hope that Maxwell programmable AGAA could be adopted so as to, you know, optimize the effect and reduce the cost. The last part, VR Direct. NVIDIA put forward a new technology called VR Direct. So first of all, what is VR Direct? Many hardware vendors at present are virtualizing, you know, are working on the R&D of the virtual helmet. This is Oculus. Quite a leading position in the market of the same product. NVIDIA VR Direct is not a, you know, specific hardware or device. It is a set of hardware and software solutions. It is for VR devices, including helmet. It provides the technical and hardware support to this kind of products. VR Direct has the following two purpose. One is to reduce response latency, and second, to accelerate three-dimensional rendering. Response latency, let's talk about this first. I don't know whether you have experienced VR helmet before. VR helmet is put on the head, but it will make you dizzy. For example, if you move around or move fast, if the picture response could not catch up with the movement of your body, 2 or 3 minutes later, or less than 2 or 3 minutes later, you'll feel uncomfortable, dizzy. Because for VR, you put it on your head, so your view is provided by the helmet. Then your brain, for example, if your brain feels that you move towards one direction, but the information or the view is not responded timely, then your brain will feel dizzy, you'll feel uncomfortable. It will cause the motion sickness. To avoid motion sickness, you have to reach the following conditions. First, the frame rate should be above 90 frames per second. For normal display, it is only 60 or 30 frames per second. But for the helmet, the frame rate should be above 90 frames per second to avoid the motion sickness. Second, when you move your head around, the response time could be less than 20 milliseconds. If time is longer than 20 milliseconds, serious problem will occur. Your brain will not will feel very uncomfortable, feel dizzy for the latency response. The second condition cannot be realized or satisfied because there is a head sensor in the helmet. The data sensed by the helmet will be delivered or transferred to CPU and then transferred to GPU. After being processed by GPU, it will be scanned and transmitted to your lens. It takes about 20 milliseconds each. As a result, the response time will be 70, 80, or even 100 milliseconds. So the virtual helmet and GPU have cooperated for a long time, jointly developed a new technology called time warp. What is time warp? To be specific, you look at there is a latency here. The rendered picture scanned and rendered to the lens, but prior to this phase, before deliver the picture to the lens, we adjust the picture like this. So we sense the status and we make a relevant adjustment before scanning and delivering the picture to the lens. In this way, we could reduce the latency response time. Although the final step adjustment is not a complete one, it could reflect the position of the head very quickly. And in a more convenient way, what kind of support from a GPU that it requires? After we think the picture needs to be scanned. The rendering, the current of the very moment will be suspended. The views that you could feel at the very moment will be caught and scanned. And the response time will be reduced. Although this solution is not that accurate and perfect one, but it could address the motion sickness when your head moves around with this helmet. A 700-900 series GPU support this time warp technology. Part of the 500-600 series GPU support the time warp. We provide the relevant interface to the hardware and software providers so that these functions could be used and to reduce the motion sickness problem. We talked about the two preconditions. One is less than 20 milliseconds per second of response time. And second is the frame rate is higher than 90 per second, 90 frames per second. This is quite challenging. So the vendors may use two GPUs to accelerate so as to enhance the frame rate. NVIDIA given the requirement on their vendors designed their slide. Their slide have two chips for odd and even rendering alternately for left eye and right eye. So one chip is to render the right eye, one chip is to render the left eye so as to increase the frame rate effectively. Many VR manufacturers are choosing their SLI for rendering. Their SLI have the following merits to increase the frame rate and to reduce response time. But it also have some defects because some of the work are repeated. For example, the shadow algorithm, if you use their SLI, it could be rendered twice, which is not necessary. Their SLI is applicable for 500 and above series of NVIDIA GeForce. So much for my presentation. It is almost the time. We could use 5 minutes for Q&A, and we prepare a little gift for the question for the first two question poses. If you're not from Shenzhen, you're from northern China, which is pretty cold in winter, then you could use this to keep warm.
We also have some notebooks, and they are as a gift. So if you want to get one of this, and you can just come to me to get this as souvenirs. And any questions? Microsoft. DX12, okay. So in our demo booth, and there are some demos for DX12, DX11 can run about 30 frames, but for DX12 it can run for about the 70 to 80 frames. If you are interested, you can come to our booth. Yes, that's for Windows 10. And actually, it's a 3D Mark 12. It's a 3D Mark 12 demonstration, and it first runs the DX11, and then it runs the DX12, and you can see the great difference between the frames. Sorry, there's no microphone for the question poser, and the interpreter cannot hear what he asks. For the time being, the demo can only enable you to see the frame rate. And the rendering numbers per second. It doesn't have the rating function, and the rating function is still in development. Yes, on the Win 10, we can already use the DX12 driver. Or on the NVIDIA website, and you can see that all the new drivers can support DX12. We don't have the specific data for that, but I think it's going to be faster. And in the past, two GPUs, and every GPU has the different frames. And now they have the same frames. And this means that you can reduce latency. And because one draws the different, has different frames, and two frames may need to wait for each other. But if they just have the same frames, and the latency can be reduced. But we don't have this type of specific data. And other VR suppliers are more inclined to use VR SLI. Oculus has actually done a lot of user testing. And you remember that in one of the pages, and the helmet supplier actually has testing. It's about less than 20 milliseconds. But for NVIDIA, has not done this type of testing. But the requirement is should be less than 20 milliseconds. The result will certainly be different, because, and if it's the same, then there will be no feeling about the depth. And because if the left eye and the right eye sees the same thing, then it will not be dimensional, and it will not be stereo. So if there's only one GPU, it needs to render two times. If there are two GPUs for SLI, then it can render left eye and then right eye at the same time. Projection can be done twice, but shell call should only be done once. Multi projection means when you draw one thing, and you can be projected on two eyes. So geometry shader, then the two projection matrix need to be generated. So it means, and it has a kind of acceleration function for geometry shader. I don't know this very well. I think it uses the same method for if we want to render two things, and the VR SLI can be used to achieve this. Yes, it looks at one thing from the different directions. As I mentioned, there is a multi-projection function, which is to look at one thing from different perspective, from the different angles. I don't know. I think that we need to, I can actually get the information from the relevant people and related to the screens, and to see whether it supports the 4D coloring. And you can leave me your contact information. I can provide you the answer later. So every time for the vertical synchronization, and for this kind of synchronization message or is transmitted to the GPU, and the GPU will just stop what it's doing and then have an adjustment and then get some data, a reference data of the helmet, and then to do some additional adjustment. The sensor to the CPU, it also has one special feature, which is have less than 1 millisecond latency, because the sensor speed is very high. But from CPU to GPU and then to the output, then the latency will be bigger. So from GPU to the and then so the it's not accurate, because generally the projection is not triangle, and it's kind of oval, and so there may be some kind of additional part that then you can actually do the you can have a very speedy response. But for the if the game engine has very low frames and has a very low speed of showing the pictures and showing the things, and then it may not produce very good effect, but then it will be no problem. Generally speaking, it's going to be quicker, because when there are two parts and the algorithm resources are better, because if you want to achieve over 90 frames for many applications, it may not be very easy. To use two GPUs, it's easier to help achieve over 90 frames. Other questions? Thank you.